WRCT Pittsburgh. No one is as excited about flaming cheese as we are. Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
Welcome to the show, everybody. We have what an eventful night we had last night. We have our first series of really important results for the 2022 midterms. We had a number of different primaries yesterday. Some of the results are absolutely delightful, and some of the results are absolutely horrifying. It really runs the full gamut, and we're going to get to all of it. Two races that we were following very closely in Pennsylvania, the Senate race. Why the Senate race in Pennsylvania? The Senate race in Pennsylvania could decide whether Democrats or Republicans ultimately control the Senate starting in January of 2023. And if it comes down to Pennsylvania, on the one hand, we want to know who is the Republican nominee going to be. And on the other hand, we also are following whether Trump's endorsements continue to have value. And Mehmet Oz was the Trump endorsed candidate in the Republican Pennsylvania Senate primary. Also, delightfully, I was gleefully seeing the results yesterday that Trumpist Congressman Madison Cawthorn lost his primary. He's out. He's been in office 16 months and he has already lost the primary and he is going bye-bye. So let's look at this one by one, starting with North Carolina's 11th district. Chuck Edwards, a current Republican state senator in North Carolina, has defeated the incumbent Madison Cawthorn. Now, it was close. Edwards coming in with just over 33% of the vote, Cawthorn losing with just under 32% of the vote. But nobody's saying it's so close we need a recount. For now, nobody's talking about fraud. In fact, Madison Cawthorn is actually saying that establishment forces in the Republican Party turned against him because he would criticize those who needed criticism and all of this stuff, which we will get to. But this is absolutely fantastic news, and we're going to talk about that more in a moment. On the Pennsylvania side, starting with the Democratic primary, John Fetterman, almost literally from an operating room, easily winning the primary. John Fetterman, as we talked about on the bonus show yesterday, had a stroke over the weekend, ended up needing to have a pacemaker with defibrillator installed via surgery yesterday. He's doing well. He easily won. The reports are he will make a full recovery and will be strongly back on the campaign trail. Fetterman will be facing the winner of the Republican primary. And as of this moment, when we're taping today's show, we don't know who that is. All night, Trump endorsed Republican Mehmet Oz was losing to Dave McCormick. And as the night went on, Oz chipped away at the advantage that McCormick had. And by the end of the night, by this morning, with 95% of the vote counted, Mehmet Oz is ahead by only 2,500 votes. That's 0.2% of the vote. Just as a reminder, in Pennsylvania, if the margin of victory is 0.5% or less, it triggers an automatic recount. These numbers aren't final, but the point is, if the numbers end up being this close, there will be an automatic recount and we're off to the races again. And we will see ultimately what the results of that are. But we don't yet know because they are still counting ballots. Now, we're going to talk about Pennsylvania governor in a separate segment. It's a very important race and it deserves its own time. But we will get to that in a moment. So Madison Cawthorn tweeting a concession, quote, congratulations to Chuck Edwards on securing the nomination tonight. It's time for the 11th District Republicans to rally behind the Republican ticket to defeat the Democrats' nominee this November. Cawthorn did praise Trump when conceding. Take a look at this clip.
Oh, you know what? The thing that I love about President Trump is that when you get your back pushed up against the wall, I've found that most people in politics, if it's not politically expedient to them, they'll turn their back on you in a heartbeat. But no matter what you are facing, when Donald Trump has your back, he has your back to the end, and that is why he's mad.
I don't know that I really agree with that. I mean, this was politically expedient for Trump to endorse Cawthorn at the end of the day. The guy running against Cawthorn isn't like a wild Trumpist, and Cawthorn is a wild Trumpist. So that's the political expediency. Just before conceding, Cawthorn did weigh in on the leaks of his pictures and videos and all of this stuff. He says it's a coordinated strike from within the Republican Party to take him down.
Congressman, there have been several photos and videos of you circulating online, on social media recently. What can you say to those constituents who maybe have lost some confidence in you and are looking for some other kind of leadership?
You know what, I'll tell you, there's been a coordinated strike carried out by really kind of the old establishment wing of our party. And it's really something that I think is it's a loser's mentality. They realize the direction the country's going in, the direction that the population's going in. And if they want to be able to pay off people from my past to try and bring up old pictures or things that happened years and years ago, I feel free to let them do that. I think the American people will see through that.
Well, whatever. I mean, listen, he's right. It was very clear that the Republican Party establishment decided we don't want Madison Cawthorn to remain in the House of Representatives. Now, his framing is, it won't matter because the country's going in his direction. He lost the primary. He is out. And that's an absolutely fantastic thing. Voters have, in a sense, sent Madison back to his room to think about what he did. Cawthorn's loss is also a loss for Trump. Trump went on Troth Central. He calls it Troth Central, as you might remember.
Troth Central.
It's actually called Truth Social. Trump went on Truth and endorsed Cawthorn two nights ago. And this one did not go Trump's way. So that is a loss for Trump. Now, meanwhile, this is just bizarre. At his event last night, Mehmet Oz thanked Fox News propagandist Sean Hannity.
Make you proud. I want to thank Sean Hannity. Sean's like a brother to me. When Sean punches through something, he really punches through it. He understands exactly how to make a difference, and he's been doing that this entire campaign, much of it behind the scenes.
Right.
Giving me advice on late night conversations. Again, the kinds of things that true friends do for each other.
In another era in the American political media landscape, it would be outrageous to hear that an on-air host on one of the major networks was not only openly supporting one of the candidates in a primary, but behind the scenes giving them advice and pep talks. At one point, that would have been seen as inappropriate. No, listen, you have an on-air persona and it's not right for you to be advising a candidate in this way without it being really what you're doing officially. You're doing one thing and then you're doing another thing behind the scenes and you're attacking Oz's opponent on air without disclosing that you have this sort of informal advisor to the extent we know it's informal advisory relationship. At one point, that would have been outrageous. Now we just kind of shrug and go, yeah, Hannity picked a candidate and was helping Mehmet Oz. And then on the other hand, Dave McCormick, who we still don't know whether it will be Oz or McCormick, almost in a tie at this point, 2,500 votes separating them. This you have to see beyond parody. McCormick now says we might still win because of mail-in ballots, which, of course, the whole line from the Republican Party has been mail-in ballots are bad, mail-in ballots are fraud. And now McCormick is saying, don't worry, we've still got the mail-in ballots coming.
Now we're going to win this campaign. We're going to win this campaign. And tomorrow, right now, we have tens of thousands of mail-in ballots that have not been counted, that are going to need to be counted beginning tomorrow. And so that's unfortunately, we're not going to have resolution tonight. But We can see the path ahead. We can see victory ahead. And it's—
don't worry, guys. The mail-in ballots my party has attacked for the last 2 years are what ultimately will save us. And this is normal for the right. Whatever fits the narrative of the current 5 minutes, they go with. So those are some races. Great to see Madison Cawthorn defeated. That's bad for Trump. Now let's go to something that is very, very good for Trump. This is genuinely scary. The Pennsylvania gubernatorial race also had its primary yesterday. Now, on the Democratic side, running unopposed is the state's attorney general, Josh Shapiro, a relatively unremarkable Democrat, smart from everything I've seen, likable, perfectly reasonable, uncontroversial guy, just normal guy, would be a normal governor. On the other side, on the Republican side, the winner of the gubernatorial primary is a guy named Doug Mastriano, who pretty easily won with a 24-point margin over the second place candidate, Lou Barletta. Doug Mastriano is an extraordinarily dangerous, weaponized conspiracy theorist Trumpist who was in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol on January 6th, who has promulgated so-called Stop the Steal conspiracies, who has played coy with QAnon phraseology. And remember that the governor appoints the secretary of state, the person in charge of running Pennsylvania's elections. This is really scary stuff. Really, really scary stuff. We have this interesting report about Mastriano. 2 days before the Capitol riots, Mastriano said he was heading to Washington, D.C. and calling out to God for divine revelation. He used campaign funds to charter 6 buses to shuttle followers to D.C. and told them he would speak on the Capitol steps. Around 1 o'clock, rioters broke into the Capitol, some wielding Bibles, Jesus 2020 signs, and appealed to heaven flags and shofars. We'll get back to shofars. On the Senate floor, one insurrectionist called out from the dais, "Jesus Christ, we invoke your name." And of course, you know the rest of what happened on January 6th. So this is a wacky guy. He was there for the Stop the Steal rally ahead of the riots. He tried to conduct one of these Arizona style partisan reviews of the election results in Pennsylvania. He made debunked conspiracy theory claims about the election, a sort of centerpiece of his campaign in Pennsylvania. He was going to speak at a QAnon branded conference called Patriots Arise in June of 21, ended up not doing it because of the chaos in the media that was generated from the news that he would be speaking there. And the Republicans know it's really big that Mastriano won. Rudy, for example, was celebrating it, posting, I think this was on Truth Social, Rudy Giuliani writing, "Tonight, the biggest win is Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania. He's a veteran, an historian, and a true patriot. The most important quality in this election is guts to destroy the Democrat express train to Marxism and the rhinos who enable it, so the press will write nice things about them. Doug will be to Pennsylvania what Trump was for the United States." And he's not wrong. They are putting the insurrectionists inside the House. Mastriano is disgusting. Here's one wacky video. Back in January, when Mastriano announced he was running, they opened the event with the blowing of a shofar. Now, I don't know how many of you know what a shofar is. A shofar is a ram's horn. It's an element of the Jewish faith, and it's used to signify sometimes the Sabbath, sometimes the end of the fasting period at Yom Kippur. And there's actually a history of Mastriano misusing Jewish symbols. This was the start of the campaign for Mastriano.
"In this people, I believe God is about to manifest himself, brother. He has to, because we cannot keep going the way we're going. Amen?
Amen.
Dear God. Okay. So Mastriano's not Jewish, and he has this history of misusing Jewish symbols as campaign props. Back in April, he spoke and raised money at a far-right Christian conference called Patriots Arise for God and Country. And they promoted conspiracy theories, including the existence of a global cabal of sex trafficking Democrats. You guys have heard this stuff before. 9/11 was a false flag. Vaccines are genocide therapy. Adolf Hitler faked his death. And once again, Jewish organizations criticized that for the improper use of campaign props. They also used a shofar there. So this is a disgusting guy, and he's a dangerous guy. The 2024 election could come down to Pennsylvania. And if Doug Mastriano gets to decide who runs that election, it's a really, really bad thing. So Pennsylvania is becoming a major area of focus. We should support Josh Shapiro for governor. We should support John Fetterman for senator. Now, the good news is for now that recently Democrats tend to win the governorship in Pennsylvania. So if we look at some recent elections, in 2018, the Democrat Tom Wolf won easily by 17 points. In 2014, the Democrat Tom Wolf won easily by about 9 points. In 2010, a Republican did win. Tom Corbett won by about 9 points. But then in 2006, Ed Rendell ran away with it with a 21-point win. So the hope is that it's just an overwhelming Democratic gubernatorial victory in Pennsylvania. If not, we're really up for it. And there's many different important races. Months ago, we said Pennsylvania will be a focus. Pennsylvania's gubernatorial race is quite literally a referendum on democracy. This is as big as any other issue. Just, do you support a democratic system? And if you do, you've got to vote for Josh Shapiro. And if people are looking to phone bank in a particular race, that is a race that is of significant interest. Meanwhile, one bit of good gubernatorial news from yesterday, far right Idaho gubernatorial candidate Janice McGeachin, maybe it's pronounced McGeachin, I don't know. She lost in Idaho, and that is a very good thing. So initial results, a mixed bag, many more primaries coming next Tuesday, 6 days from today. And of course, we'll be covering all of it live. And just a quick reminder, Monday, Memorial Day, we're doing a 1 day membership special. We are blowing members. We might run out of memberships. OK, we are going to offer an incredible discount off of memberships on our website, our primary funding source, on Monday, Memorial Day. If you want to be notified of how to get the discounted membership, just get on my newsletter at davidpakman.com. All right, let's take a little bit of a dive into the deep end of the pool of hypocrisy. I know hypocrisy doesn't matter on the American right anymore. I know that they will say anything and then say the opposite if it becomes politically convenient to make a different claim. I know, I'm very much aware of that, but this is sort of a new low. Some of you may be familiar with Republican Congressman Dan Crenshaw. Dan Crenshaw is a military veteran. And while he was in the military, due to an injury, he lost an eye and he wears an eye patch over one eye. Dan Crenshaw's political ideas are absolutely terrible. I find his views on almost every political issue disgusting. But we don't make fun of him for having lost an eye. That doesn't make any sense. That's vile. That's gross. Well, this weekend, it was this weekend, Tucker Carlson referred to Congressman Dan Crenshaw as Eye Patch McCain, ridiculing his physical appearance as a result of the fact that he lost an eye through military service, which Tucker Carlson, of course, has never done. Notably, Tucker said this while he was interviewing former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, who also is a military veteran. Listen to what Tucker Carlson had to say. If you're watching, check out the sort of non-reaction from Tulsi.
The more I think about it, it takes a lot of gall for Eye Patch McCain to attack moms who are worried about baby formula as, quote, pro-Russia. I mean, that's one of the most outrageous things I think I've ever heard now that I'm thinking about it. I mean, why not just answer the question? Why the attacks? What does that tell you?
Eye Patch McCain. Well, it turns out that this is not just generally a contradiction of Tucker's typical view of we respect the military and people who have served the country and all this different stuff. Tucker has actually specifically attacked people in the past for making fun of Dan Crenshaw's eye patch. We have video of this. The guys over at Midas Touch actually made it a side-by-side. And on the left of your screen, you're going to see what Tucker had to say back in November of 2018. In November of 2018, comedian Pete Davidson kind of made fun of Dan Crenshaw's eye patch. And Tucker attacked him. And then on the right, you will again see what Tucker said over the weekend. Take a look at this.
Texas congressional candidate Dan Crenshaw lost an eye to an IED in Afghanistan. On Saturday, actor Pete Davidson mocked him as one of the, quote, really gross people running for office this year.
Oh, my God.
He said, added, "I'm sorry. I know he lost his eye in war or whatever."
Now, understand that even in saying that, Pete Davidson isn't even really making fun of the eye patch. Pete Davidson was saying Dan Crenshaw's a disgusting political candidate. And he's saying, I know he lost an eye in war or whatever. Sure, the or whatever is callous, but he's not even really making fun of the fact that he wears an eye patch. He's just saying, eye patch aside, I find him to be a disgusting candidate. And Tucker thought that that was offensive and said it was inappropriate. And then again, here's Tucker on it was indeed Monday night.
Yeah, so that's their position. And they're not hiding it anymore. Useful for you to know. The more I think about it, it takes a lot of gall for Eye Patch McCain to attack moms who are worried about baby formula as, quote, pro-Russia. I mean,
what a guy, huh? What a guy. It's actually much worse for Tucker to do this than Pete Davidson, to be perfectly frank. Like, aside from the point that Pete Davidson wasn't even really making fun of it, he was just a little bit dismissive of, okay, I mean, he lost an eye in war or whatever, but he's still a bad candidate. Callous, but not making fun of it. It's worse for Tucker to do this because Tucker knows Dan Crenshaw's story. He knows Dan Crenshaw's biography. He knows exactly how Dan Crenshaw lost his eye. And I think at the time, at least Pete Davidson had a very limited understanding of Dan Crenshaw's situation. But I know you know this. Pointing out hypocrisy no longer has an impact. When we are up against people whose view is win at all costs, attack the other side at all costs, even for things that we do. When that's their approach, when that's their perspective, this type of hypocrisy doesn't actually matter. Making fun of Dan Crenshaw's eye patch used to be a terrible sin when Pete Davidson did it. But now it's fine because Crenshaw said something Tucker Carlson didn't like, and Tulsi Gabbard also didn't like what Dan Crenshaw said. And again, I'm not defending Crenshaw as a politician. Crenshaw's horrible. His policy ideas are terrible. He spreads all sorts of disinformation about economics and what he believes socialism to be. We've done a ton, you know, maybe 5-6 different clips debunking the things Crenshaw has said. But these are the people that supposedly respect the troops, support the troops, honor military service. Eye patch McCain. And by the way, McCain, I can only assume that Tucker is maybe seeing Crenshaw as in the line of the late Senator John McCain, which I can only imagine and infer is also not great as far as Tucker is concerned. I don't know. We know that late in his life, John McCain had some kind of departures from some elements of the Republican Party. It's all vile. It's all gross. And his viewers will never, ever, ever hold him accountable for it. I want to tell everybody something about your cable subscription that you may not know. Now, I'm not telling you what to do here. I'm not even sure what to do. And I'll tell you why this is a double-edged sword. But it's important that everybody know that if you have a cable TV subscription with any of the major cable providers, you are paying Fox News. You are keeping Fox News afloat. Now, it's a little bit different when I say that you are keeping Fox News afloat than saying you are keeping HGTV afloat or whatever the case may be. Why is it different? The difference is that Fox News specifically mostly has deals with the large cable providers that for each subscriber, they get a significant amount of revenue, typically almost $2 a month. So if you have a cable subscription, normal cable subscription, you never watch Fox News, you probably, unbeknownst to you, are still sending Fox News specifically close to $2 a month or close to $20 per year. Now, as we've said before, Fox News, we've been talking about it all week. Numerous Fox News hosts have been perpetuating these ideas of so-called great replacement theory or white replacement theory. It goes by both names. This was one of the undergirding foundations of the Buffalo Shooter's manifesto and the Buffalo Shooter's motivation for going out and seeking black people to kill. Okay, there's lots of other platforms that are promoting this stuff as well. The difference is many of those other ones are online. So like, for example, some of the people promoting white replacement theory are on YouTube and they make money with ad revenue. If you don't watch them on YouTube, you're not giving them any money. Great. The difference is that with your cable subscription, even if you don't watch Fox News, you're still giving them in many cases close to $2 a month. Now, there's a website I encourage you to check out called unfoxmycablebox.com. And it, number one, tells you the full scope of how Fox News is funded in this way. And number two, it allows you to tell your cable provider to separate out Fox News to make it an optional channel. On just about every cable system, you can't say, I don't want Fox. If you don't want to pay for HBO on every cable system that I'm aware of, you just say, I don't want HBO. Great. You don't get HBO and you don't pay for HBO. On most cable systems, you can't remove Fox News and Fox Business. Okay. If you pay for cable or satellite TV, you are subsidizing Fox News, whether you watch it or not. The cable provider pays Fox and they pass the cost directly to you. Now, we've said before, I've explained to you, Fox doesn't depend that much on ad revenue. Why not? Because of these monthly fees from subscribers. When all of those advertisers bailed on Tucker Carlson's show and we watched an episode and we saw that he had almost no advertisers left and the advertisers he had left were sort of like low rent, low value, kind of low brow advertisers, the Mike Pillows of the world and stuff like that. We laughed about it and we had a grand old time, but we acknowledged that it doesn't really matter that much because Fox News's revenue model, 2/3 comes from subscriber fees through cable providers. Fox News makes close to $2 billion a year from these hidden subscriber fees. That's twice what CNN makes, and it's three times as much as MSNBC makes. So sadly, all of our money, if we have cable, is being used to fund this extremist programming. You should not be forced to subsidize Fox News, but you don't have a choice if you have a cable subscription. So check out Unfox My Cable Box, read about it, fill it out, which will send a message to your cable provider telling them, separate this out, allow me to say no. And that's what we really have to do. I mean, obviously, we can also cut the cord. The sad part about cutting the cord, while many people have done it and I don't have any moral opposition to it, we recently learned that thanks to cord cutting, C-SPAN, which is a very valuable service, which has no ad revenue, C-SPAN has been significantly hurt by cost cutting. So that's the tragic thing. You might say, well, I'll cut the cord to stop funding Fox. Great. But then you also end up hurting C-SPAN, which we don't want to hurt. C-SPAN provides a valuable public service. So we have to pressure the cable and satellite providers to stop including Fox News by default. You should be able to say, I don't want Fox. And if you don't want Fox, you shouldn't have to pay for Fox. And the cable provider shouldn't have to pay for Fox regardless. That's the sort of system that needs to be upended. We're going to keep you updated. There's currently negotiations actually happening right now. Fox and cable providers are negotiating their next contract on this, on these subscriber fees. And we could really kneecap Fox News. It's not a limitation on speech. Anybody who wants to fund Fox should be able to. Anybody who wants to watch it should be able to. Nobody should be silencing Fox. Fox can do whatever they want. But we shouldn't by default be paying for Fox News when we certainly don't watch it and absolutely don't want to be funding it. We'll have more on this on our Instagram, which you can find at David Pakman Show. We're going to look at how a conspiracy theory gets oxygen and grows and grows. And it can very quickly become so big that even finding out it's not true won't debunk it for the people perpetuating it. Wait, what am I talking about? I'm going to show you the genesis of a conspiracy. Some might say the oranges of a conspiracy, for lack of a better term. We're going to look at an interview on the Joe Rogan podcast with a guy who goes by the name Hotep Jesus. I guess his name is Brian Sharp, but he goes by Hotep Jesus. Himself a spreader of conspiracy theories of all kinds, Hotep Jesus has previously said that the Atlantic slave trade was a myth, that the vast majority of African Americans are the original Native Americans, and many other conspiracy theories. Okay. Hotep Jesus appears on the Joe Rogan program, and Joe Rogan brings up the widely debunked claim that Australia was going to pass a law to ban anybody from growing their own food. You know how I grow my radishes and my cukes and my zooks in the backyard, all of that stuff. The claim from Rogan is in Australia, that would be against the law. Now, it's not true. We're going to look at the clip, and I want you to really look at first how long they spend talking about how terrible it is that Australia is doing this until they get the idea to look for an article. They can't find any articles. And then Rogan goes, oh, man, it might not be a real story. But then Hotep Jesus says, even if it's fake, the fact that you thought it is probably a warning that they're going to do it at some point. And this is the epitome of not finding evidence fuels us believing it's probably true because maybe the evidence is being hidden. This is a genius, and genius in a terrible way, clinic on conspiratorial thinking. And they spent a bunch of this episode slamming so-called fake news, and then they fell for it and they perpetuated it. Take a look at this.
You know, I want to find out what this is, but I read something briefly and I didn't get into the article, but they were saying that they were trying to pass a bill that would outlaw you growing your own food in Australia.
Whoa. Oh, my
God.
Did you read that?
No.
It was a part of Australia. I think it was New South Wales.
Okay.
Someone was trying to pass a law that won't allow you to grow your own food.
Oh,
and they were saying, well, you could grow your own food, and what if the disease is from your food?
So now Rogan is ridiculing the things that the people saying growing your own food is bad supposedly said, but the whole story is fake. Now they're ridiculing imaginary people.
It infects the population, kills us all.
Oh,
we can have that.
Oh, they pulled that card.
I want to know what their justification was, but I'm pretty sure it had to do with like agricultural contamination, or, you know, like, I mean, you could justify it if you're a real piece of shit. You could say, well, you know, most pandemics have come from agriculture, animal agriculture.
Mm.
We can't have unchecked pig ownership. That's not fair. We can't if you're growing vegetables. What if your vegetables have ergot in them and diseases? Fucking creeps, man. These fucking creeps, they got a good grip on people during the pandemic. They locked everybody down in Australia. And then, you know what? We got to stop these motherfuckers from growing their own food, because that's how you smoke out an anti-vaxxer.
And look at now the story is fake, and it's now being built up into this is part of the control. You tell people, you go crazy in Australia with COVID, you tell people they can't go to the grocery store and they can't grow their own food in order to force anti-vaxxers to go and get themselves vaccinated because otherwise they'll starve. It's a three-layer conspiracy theory now, all based on nothing. And now is when it starts to turn and they go, maybe we should find some evidence that this actually is happening.
Yeah. You can't even go to the grocery store anymore, and you can't grow your food.
No, dependent.
Take that shot, bitch. Did you find anything?
No. You are now dependent upon the state.
Passes bill.
I know what to look for. I'm just, it's not, nothing's coming up. The closest thing I could find was something like this.
It's not in New Zealand. It's in Australia.
I know, but this is close.
New Zealand is like right around the corner.
Could have.
Right. Doesn't matter that Rogan's talking about Australia. If they find it in New Zealand, it's close enough, but it's not there either.
God, it's got to be a real thing.
Mm.
It seems too good to not be.
It's obviously.
Outlaw growing food in Australia and nothing, not a single thing comes up.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Except for that, which was a false thing.
Growing your own food.
They want us completely dependent.
So Hotep now, he's unfazed by the fact that there's no evidence of this story. He's like, this is part of them wanting us dependent.
Yeah, I can't find it either.
Oh,
damn it. Better not be fake. It might be fake.
But that, even if it's fake, right? Like, the fake is usually the warning.
Even if it's fake, the fake is usually the warning. That's like the epitome of these people. If they had found an article saying this was happening in Australia, the article would be the proof. They didn't find the article, so it was a fake story. Now that's the proof it's probably coming, because the fake stories usually come before it becomes a real story. It's the warning. This is unbelievable. And almost 3 minutes, half of which is just building on they don't want to let you grow their own food. Well, that's not true. The reason they don't want to do it is to smoke out anti-vaxxers, to force them to go and get vaccinated by making them unable to grow their own food and not letting them go to grocery stores unless they're vaccinated. So that's layer number three. Layer number three. This is part of the general. They want to control you and they want you to be dependent. Oh, it turns out it's not real. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's probably the fact that you thought it was is a sign that at some point it will be. And one of the most brilliant things is as Rogan starts to realize it's fake, the guest doesn't care. And Hotep Jesus is like filling the dead air by saying they want us dependent. They want to control us. He's not even reacting to the fact that there's no story. He just keeps going, filling the dead air. And it hits all the points of conspiratorial thinking, including that the absence of evidence. Rogan thought it. They find no evidence. That's part of the conspiracy. That's probably a sign that it's coming. It is textbook clinic on this stuff. And by the way, they almost seem disappointed that it's not true. It would be terrible if you weren't allowed to grow your own food. They should be overjoyed. Oh my God, what great news. You can grow your own food in Australia. You can do it. They're not overjoyed. They're almost like bummed out that the story is not real. Unbelievable stuff. Scary. And probably a bunch of people still came away from that believing that it's true that Australia won't let you grow your own food. Scary stuff. Hey, this is a very strange series of events. Earlier in the day on Monday, Jordan Peterson attacked me. He subsequently went on to call a woman ugly and then announced he's quitting Twitter because it's all gotten too out of control. He's told his staff to change his password and not give him access to it. However, multiple tweets continued to be posted after that, presumably by his staff. So let's go kind of like point by point here. OK, so the first thing that happened is that Jordan Peterson posted about my video criticizing him. Jordan Peterson recently gave a talk during which he wept because young people are being told that there's a climate crisis. And Jordan Peterson didn't like my video and he tweeted at me, he attacked me and he said, quote, "I was speaking of the unacceptable demoralization of young people. I've seen it all over the world. And this cynical dismissal is all you can muster? How utterly pathetic, D. Pacman. How do you think endless apocalyptic catastrophizing affects children?" He then went on to send an additional tweet. He sent a second tweet very quickly where he said, "And congratulations on capturing an audience motivated to spew so consistently the corrosive and personal vitriol that makes up the comments on this video clip. A likely epitaph for you, eaten by his own children." So he's really, really, really not happy with me. Now, as a reminder, the video he's referring to is Jordan Peterson weeps over climate activism. And in that video, I pointed out we shouldn't be weeping that it's upsetting to kids to learn about what we're doing to the planet. We should be weeping over the fact that we're destroying the planet. And Jordan Peterson's perspective is when you tell children and young people all of these terrible things that are going on, it's demoralizing to them. It's horrible. And he wept over it. And my point was, we have to be honest with people. And if we're bringing up a new generation who is number one, going to deal with the consequences of climate change, and number two, be in a position, hopefully, to deal with it, we can't lie to them. We can't hide from them that this is what's happening on this planet. And anyway, he didn't like it. He thinks it's demoralizing to tell them that. So Jordan Peterson flipping out on me. Moments later, he went after the physical appearance of a woman. There is this woman. I actually haven't been following this story, but I guess the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue this year wanted to feature different body types. And there's a heavier woman who was featured. And Jordan Peterson, after attacking me on Twitter, tweeted about this woman, "Sorry, not beautiful, and no amount of authoritarian tolerance is going to change that." So kind of a weird thing for Jordan Peterson to be tweeting about. And then not too long after that, Jordan Peterson announced that he is indeed leaving Twitter. It's gotten to be too much for him, saying, quote, "So I told my staff to change my password to keep me from temptation and am departing once again. If I have something to say, I'll write an article or make a video. If the issue is not important enough to justify that, then perhaps it would be best to just let it go." Very, very unstable, incredibly unstable individual. And honestly, I don't even, I mean, listen, Jordan Peterson, we've talked for a while about how he seems unwell. We've talked for a while about how a lot of his followers seem to be sort of like bamboozled and fall into a cult of personality. We've said a lot of things about Jordan Peterson. I'm actually with him. Significant use of Twitter isn't that healthy. We know that. And for some people in particular, it's really not healthy. I know people personally who, because of their personalities, addictive personalities and sort of the endless need to keep scrolling, I see how corrosive it is to their mental state, their emotional state, to be on social media. They just shouldn't be on it. And it really seems like for Jordan Peterson, it's very bad to be on social media. So I actually respect him for getting off of Twitter. It's not clear he's really off because the tweets keep coming, but I guess it's his staff that are sending the tweets. But what a 24 hours, flipping out on me, calling a woman ugly, and then saying it's gotten bad and I'm quitting. So we wish him the best. I think it is better for him not to be on Twitter. All right, I'm coming to you for help on this. I need people's opinions. About 10 days ago, we received a call when we were taking live calls from someone who claimed to be a pro-Trump individual who was formerly a moderator on what's called The Donald. The Donald was a subreddit on the website Reddit that was so toxically pro-Trump and spreading so much disinformation and so problematic that it was ultimately banned by Reddit. So this guy calls in and says, "Hey, I used to be a moderator on The Donald, and the guy spread, even on this program, disinformation about ivermectin and misoprostol." And okay, we already talked about that. I didn't think much more about it. But in the time that followed the release of that clip, I started getting messages from people saying, "Hey, David, we think that that guy who called is Ron Watkins." Ann wrote in and Ann said, "Hi, David, love your show. Thank you for the quality work you do. I just had to share that the recent caller who said he was a moderator for The Donald or whatever it's called, to me, his voice sounds like Ron Watkins. Just wondering." And then another viewer wrote in, Evan, who said, "The Donald equals Ron Watkins. Hey, David, love the show. As my sister says, after I shared a few videos, he is so astute and cute too." Okay. I just listened to the new upload regarding Tricked by a Trumpist. The caller sounds just like Ron Watkins, the alleged 4chan QAnon leader, and also the guy running for Arizona's congressional second district. Could this be the same guy? And I have to tell you, I went back and listened to it, and there's definitely a similarity. Let's listen to the voice. This is Ron Watkins during a recent debate. This is the QAnon guy running in Arizona. He made that really strange opening statement. Listen to his voice here.
"And I will make sure that your rights are kept. Thank you."
Okay. Here's one more clip. Ron Watkins. Listen to the voice.
"Ron, some people say that a lot of this was stoked by QAnon. What is your relationship with QAnon?"
"I have no relationship with QAnon."
"None at all?"
"None at all."
"The reports are that your bulletin board sites hosted postings that launched QAnon conspiracies."
"So I ran a free speech website and I was the administrator. And there were many thousands of people that posted on those sites. Q was just one of those and I do not know who it was. And I'm not that."
Okay, so that's the voice of Ron Watkins. Now let's listen to the voice of the guy who called me. All right. Tell me if you think this is the same person.
Let's go next to Rich from Illinois. Rich, welcome. Hi, David.
Hello.
So I was the top mod of the Donald on Reddit for years until just before it was banned. And with Elon buying Twitter, do you think that there will be a general shift in policy for the tech places towards allowing things like medical misinformation?
There's definitely a similarity. The guy said his name is Rich rather than Ron. Okay. I guess you could give a different name. What do you think? Is it possible that this is the same guy? It's a very interesting question and multiple people wondering. Let's listen to a little bit more.
Such as ivermectin and what Vice's motherboard did yesterday with tweeting out the misoprostol for abortion pills.
I don't know, guys. It is very, very interesting. There is absolutely some kind of similarity. But first of all, in the middle of a congressional campaign, I don't know why Ron Watkins would be calling this show. Secondly, I don't know why he would use the name Rich. I don't know. I mean, maybe he would. Maybe there's a good reason why he would. Maybe it's logical that he would because he's running a congressional campaign. But it is very interesting. And that call generating so much content. And now people saying it sounds like the Q guy. So let me know what you think. I don't have any other particular information about it, but it is certainly very interesting. I want to look at a clip with you today of this Christian hate preacher, Greg Locke. Okay. This is a guy we've talked about before. There's a church called the Global Vision Bible Church in Tennessee. I looked to see if they are actually a tax exempt church, and I was not able to definitively find out one way or the other. As many of you know, churches, quote, real churches, are able to be tax exempt in the United States. This allows them to not pay property tax. This allows them a lot of other tax benefits. And one of the rules is they're not allowed to do politics at the pulpit. You can't be a political organization and have tax exempt status. I'm going to play a wild clip for you here from Global Vision Bible Church. This is Greg Locke. He threatens Democrats that are watching him. He threatens an insurrection. He says that nobody in his church should be voting for Democrats. This is the epitome of why there should not be tax exempt status for the religious wing of churches. If you run a school, a church based school, and you're teaching real curriculum, I'm actually okay with the educational side of a church having tax exemption. But this sort of stuff has to end. Take a listen to this.
I'm to the place right now, if you vote Democrat, I don't even want you around this church. You can get out.
Okay, so right off the bat, saying Democrats aren't welcome here. That's a pretty political statement.
You can get out, you demon. You can get out, you baby butchering election thief.
So that, by the way, baby butchering, that's talking about abortion. So this is all politics. This is exactly the stuff churches aren't allowed to do if they want to maintain tax exempt status. How many billions of dollars are being subsidized by random taxpayers because churches don't pay taxes but still do politics?
You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat in this nation. I don't care how mad that makes you. You get pissed off as you want to. You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat in this nation. They are God-denying demons that butcher babies and hate this nation. They hate this nation. Get mad all you want to. I don't care if you stand. I don't care if you throw tomatoes, praise God. I'm about to throw a microphone up in his house.
Right.
CNN can eat my dirty socks. You cannot be a Democrat and a Christian. You cannot. Somebody say amen.
I actually don't remember. We once had a video of a pastor that ate dog poop on stage to prove some kind of point. I don't remember if it was this guy. Let me see. Greg Locke eating dog poop. I think it was. Okay, all right, let's continue anyway.
The rest of you, get out! Get out! Get out in the name of Jesus! I ain't playing your stupid games! Bunch of devils. I'm sick of it. Hey, we want to talk about the insurrection. Let me tell you something. You ain't seen the insurrection yet.
Whoa.
You keep on pushing our buttons, you low-down, sorry compromisers. You God-hating communist America, you'll find out what an insurrection is, because we ain't playing your garbage. We ain't.
So now threatening violence, threatening something, even saying the so-called insurrection of January 6th, that ain't nothing compared to the insurrection they might do.
Playing your mess. My Bible says that the church of the living God is an institution that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the Bible says that we'll take it by force. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says.
Imagine thinking that this nonsense has anything to do with the teachings of Jesus. Like, I'm not a Christian, so I don't care about the teachings of Jesus. They have no impact on my life whatsoever. But I know people who actually care about the teachings of Jesus insofar as how to treat other people and feeding the poor and being a good neighbor and all these different things. This has nothing to do with the teachings of Jesus. And the idea that this is a so-called Christian church is absolutely bonkers. Now, again, on the tax-exempt status, this is Global Vision Bible Church in Tennessee. There's another church by a similar name in California, which is tax exempt. That's not this church. I looked for the 501c3 status and number, nonprofit number for this church. I wasn't able to find one. Now, that doesn't really mean anything. Very often these churches, even though it's called Global Vision Bible Church, it might in reality be called something like, you know, 12345 Ministries LLC. And I just don't know. So that's a very common thing, that the actual filing name is different than the doing business as. But at this point, at minimum, there should be an investigation due to the very brazen calls for violence. And number two, if they are tax exempt, he is literally saying, Democrats, get out. If you don't allow Democrats in your church, you're doing politics and you shouldn't be a tax exempt institution. Horrifying. And I don't have the number in front of me, but I've previously told you, billions of dollars a year go in the form of tax exemptions to churches, many of which do political advocacy, which they should not be doing. We have a voicemail number, and that number is 2192 David P. Here is a caller thrilled that Madison Cawthorn lost. I have to tell you, I also am thrilled about it.
Hey, David, it's Dylan from North Carolina. I'm just letting you know that I love the show, baby. You do a great job. You do some great coverage. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And also, I really just want to say that I'd like to rejoice in the fact that Madison Cawthorn is no longer in the motherfucking house. Get that shit out of here, baby. Love you, David. Take care.
Thank you so much for the call. Yeah, it is. I mean, listen, I get it. The guy who beat Madison Cawthorn is almost certainly going to be the winner in that district. And it will stay with a Republican. It's not like Madison Cawthorn is being replaced with a reasonable Democrat or a progressive. But because Cawthorn is emblematic of the debasement of American politics, where a completely incompetent clown with no business being involved in politics wins thanks to the combination of riding Trump's coattails and the MAGA wave of the 2020. Well, yeah, well, all this different stuff. It is still a good thing to see him lose and see him removed. We'll then have to, you know, deal with the fact that the guy who replaces him will probably be 80% as bad. But it's okay to be happy about it. I'm happy Madison Cawthorn lost. He had no business being there. And unfortunately, I don't know that we're going to be as successful in making some of these other MAGA people one-term members of Congress. We're going to try. Don't get me wrong. We're going to try. But I don't know that it will be successful. Let's just be happy that he lost, at least for the next day. We are going to talk on the bonus show today, and this is that same bonus show that Alex Jones has been talking about.
Oh, the bonus show where you want to make money, but everybody else that makes money to fund themselves is bad.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. A lawsuit is now seeking more than $2 million in damages from the fake Republican electors in Wisconsin. This would be beautiful, beautiful if it succeeded. Number two. The FDA is announcing some plans to ease the shortage of baby formula, which is becoming an area of major concern. Parents just worried, am I going to have the formula to feed my kid? And thirdly, a judge strikes down Tennessee's transgender bathroom sign law. This is a genuinely interesting case, and it has to do with a lot of different things going on at the federal level and at the state level and elsewhere. So we're going to talk about that on today's bonus show as well. If you want to get access to the bonus show today, very easy. Sign up at joinpacman.com. You can use the coupon code Obamna to get a discount. If you'd rather get the big discount on Memorial Day, fine with me. It's only 12 days away. Get on my newsletter at davidpacman.com. And then Monday morning, Monday Memorial Day, you'll get an email in which I will tell you how to take advantage of this great membership discount. So no shame in waiting until Memorial Day. We will see you on the bonus show, or otherwise we'll be back.
Had a dream that we all found love. Ain't nobody believe us, ain't nobody believe. Give me hope so I won't give up. We got targets on our back, but we're not afraid to bleed. Don't need no rest, no. Long as you're by my side, we'll never lose that light, no. I swear these twisted roads, someday they'll lead us home. Stay with me now, stay with me now. Just like a fire and a smoke, yeah, we can keep each other close. Stay with me now, stay with me now. Stay with me now.
DJ Haim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Technoland? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
My fellow Americans, I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
WRCT, in sound, from way out.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The Russian invasion in Ukraine is amplifying and accelerating all these factors. Climate change, COVID-19, and inequality. It threatens to tip tens of millions of people over the edge into food insecurity, followed by malnutrition, mass hunger, and famine in a crisis that could last for years.
As the United Nations warns again about the devastating global impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we'll look at why talks to end the war appear to have collapsed. We'll speak to New School Professor Nina Khrushcheva, the great-granddaughter of former Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev. Then to Buffalo, where an 18-year-old white supremacist shot dead 10 people at a grocery store in the heart of the black community. We'll speak with the head of Brady, one of the oldest gun violence groups in the U.S. And Chile is rewriting its constitution to replace the one created under the U.S.-backed dictator Augusto Pinochet. A new draft constitution has just been released.
This text materializes a new way of treating one another, a new way of understanding life in our country, where everyone can feel protected.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The House of Representatives has approved a bill aimed at combating domestic terrorism following last weekend's attack by a white supremacist who killed 10 black people in a Buffalo supermarket. The Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act passed on a vote of 222-203 Wednesday with the support of just one Republican lawmaker. It calls for the creation of a domestic terrorism offices within the Departments of Justice and Homeland Security. Meanwhile, New York State is launching an investigation into social media platforms used by the Buffalo shooting suspect. Governor Kathy Hochul announced the investigation Wednesday.
Today, I'm announcing a referral to the Attorney General's office to investigate the social media platforms that broadcast this horrific attack, that promote and elevate hate speech, and legitimize the replacement theory in the mind of an 18-year-old, a radicalized 18-year-old.
Governor Hochul also announced a series of steps to tighten New York's gun laws. Later in the broadcast, we'll speak with Chris Brown, head of Brady, one of the oldest gun violence groups in the U.S. In Ukraine, the International Committee of the Red Cross has begun registering hundreds of Ukrainian fighters as prisoners of war after they surrendered in Mariupol. Russia now says over 1,700 Ukrainians have surrendered since May 16th after a weeks-long standoff at the Azovstal steel plant. Russia's threatened to hold war crimes trials for some of the captured soldiers. Meanwhile, a 21-year-old Russian soldier has pleaded guilty in the first war crimes trial conducted by Ukraine since the start of the invasion. The soldier admitted to shooting dead a 62-year-old Ukrainian man in the region of Sumy. For the first time in over a year, the United States has an ambassador to Ukraine. On Wednesday, the Senate confirmed Bridget Brink by unanimous voice vote without a formal roll call. The post has been vacant since then-President Trump forced Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch out of the role in 2019 as Trump sought to pressure Ukraine's government into providing dirt on Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden. Meanwhile, the Kremlin said Wednesday it would expel 85 embassy staff from French, Italian, and Spanish diplomatic missions after the three countries expelled hundreds of Russian diplomats. Russia has also closed the Moscow bureau of the Canadian broadcaster CBC.